Matthew 19, verse 16, the word of the Lord. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honour your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We turn to chapter 22, and we start at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." We now turn to Lord's Day 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question answer 3. From where do you know your sins and misery? From the law of God. 4. What does God's law require of us? Christ teaches us this in a summary in Matthew 22. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." 5. Can you keep all this perfectly? No, I'm inclined by nature to hate God and my neighbour. The sermon I'm allowed to read to you this afternoon is from the hand of the late Dr. J. Faber. And after the sermon, we will sing as our Amen song from Psalm 103, verse 1. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, I may share with you the word of God according to the confessions of the church under this theme: Jesus Christ and the law of God. We'll see firstly, Jesus Christ revealed the character of God's law. Secondly, Jesus Christ renewed the requirement of God's law. And thirdly, Jesus Christ removed our guilt over against God's law. The first Lord's Day ended with the question, how many things do you need to know in order to live and die in the joy of this only comfort? The answer was three. First, how great my sins and misery are. Second, how I am delivered from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to be thankful to God for such deliverance. An easy way to remember the three parts of the Heidelberg Catechism is to think of the three G's, guilt, grace, and gratitude. Or of the three S's, sin, salvation, and service. The first part deals with our sin and misery, and the first question and answer is the shortest in the Catechism. From where do you know your misery? Answer, from the law of God. There are two words that we have to say something about. First, the word misery, and then the word law. You should not misunderstand that word misery. The Catechism does not want to speak about the consequences of sin only, but first of all, about sin itself. You can say with the words of the form for the Lord's Supper, at stake is the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin. I must know the greatness of my sin, and then also I will know the greatness of my wretchedness, the miserable consequences of my sin. Therefore, we shouldn't say, but every man knows his misery. One needs only to take a careful look at the world to observe the misery of man. Suffering, sorrow, sickness, poverty, anxiety, frustration, fear. Is all that not misery? And yet we could not answer this question of our catechism by referring you to our newspapers or by listening to the radio. And even those secular authors write very, very eloquently about the misery of human life, about anxieties and loneliness. We cannot say that by reading all this, we will even begin to understand the cause of the misery all around us. Because, congregation, at stake is the source of misery, sin. The question is, where do you learn about sin? And the only answer is, out of the law of God. Paul writes to the Romans, through the law comes the knowledge of sin, Romans 3. But what does the Catechism mean with that second important word in this question and answer, the word law? The word law can have several meanings. It can mean the 10 words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. It can also mean the 5 books of Moses. You'll remember that our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the law, the prophets and the Psalms, the 3 parts of the Old Testament. Law is then the first part, the books of Moses, or broader, the so-called historical books of the Old Testament. Sometimes people even see a contrast between Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament is law, New Testament is gospel. But that contradiction is false, for the Old Testament is also gospel. Immediately at the beginning of the Old Testament, we read the first promise, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Genesis 3:15. That is the full-fledged gospel, the good news about the coming Christ. In the words of Lord's Day 6, the Holy Gospel was first revealed by God himself in paradise. And in regard to the New Testament, we have to say that it is not only the gospel, but also the law. Immediately in the beginning of the New Testament, we read the Sermon on the Mount, the proclamation of the law of the kingdom of heaven. And even on the last page of the New Testament, in Revelation 22, we hear the law of the Lord. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who practices loves and practices falsehood. What does law mean? Law means instruction by God, teaching of God, and then especially the teaching about our conduct. Law and gospel are, as it were, two aspects of the whole revelation of God. And you can find both law and gospel in the whole Word of God, in the New Testament as well as in the Old. The preaching of the law is not without gospel, and the preaching of the gospel is not without law. The preaching of the law actually shows the grace of our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we immediately touch the important point at stake here. What is the character of the law? What is the nature of the Word of God regarding that aspect which is the law for our life? Some people think that we have to use the law as an instrument of God's wrath, and that by the preaching of the law only, we bring man to the knowledge of his sin. They proclaim the thunder of the law, the terrors of judgment. They picture the eternal damnation of hell in the most awful colours. They instill anxiety and fear. They try to talk people into trembling in the sight of the holy, almighty God. They have the idea that if a man is going to be saved, he himself has to descend into hell, as it were. First, you must crawl along the narrow path of terror and anxiety caused by the law. First, you have to pass through the dark gate of the law. First, they say, you have to experience the inexpressible anguish, terrors, and hellish agony of the law. This means that they think that there must be the proclamation of the law apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Under such thunderous preaching, there has to be born a groaning and a moaning, a screaming and a crying. People walk in the darkness and they are mourning because of their sins. But when they are brought to the knowledge that they belong to God's chosen few, then they do not think they need the law anymore. Then they are beyond the law, for the law is completely different from the gospel and the law is apart from the message of grace. But, congregation, this doctrine of a contrast between law and gospel is completely wrong. You can say, here we have the same error as with the Pharisees. The Pharisees too did not understand the indissoluble unity of the law and gospel. They did not look at the law as the law of the covenant. For that precisely is the nature of the law, its character. It is the law of God's covenant. It is the law of love. And so the law cannot be thought of apart from God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ spoke the 10 words of the covenant, surely, but they are the words of the covenant and of the first, and first of all, he spoke those majestic words of his love and grace. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Did you hear? It is the law of his wonderful covenant relationship. For the law, the word of God, is the rule of our life and is spoken by God for all ages. It still is the original rule of paradise. When God created Adam, he immediately placed Adam into the covenant of his favour. He surrounded man with his fatherly love, and in the covenant of the Lord God gave his commandments as the rule of the covenant, as a requirement for the life in the communion with God. Already in paradise, the law was the rule for gratitude. Now this character of the law of God is again revealed by Jesus Christ. We don't want to postpone speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ until we reach the second part of the Heidelberg Catechism. For the Lord Jesus Christ, over against the Phariseeism of his time, spoke about the nature of the law of God. He referred back right to the beginning of history, right to paradise. You remember what he said to his disciples in Matthew 19 with regard to the matter of divorce. The disciples had asked, "Why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" And Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning." Jesus Christ leads his disciples back to the situation in the beginning. He makes them breathe the pure air of paradise. For the law of God is the rule for our life as set in the beginning. The formulation of the law may have been altered, but the contents remains the same. It is the law of love. Love toward God and love toward our neighbour. It is the commandment of love, given in the covenant of love, given by the God of love. In paradise, man walked with God, for God walked with man. God walked with Adam as a father walks with his child. And God proclaimed his law to man. He wrote his law by his word and spirit into the heart of man, and that law was a beautiful rule, the rule of the house of the Father. The law was holy, and the commandment was holy and just and good. Romans 7. It was holy, for it preached the holiness and majesty of the Father. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And the law was just and good, for it called into communion with his holy Father. It opened the house of Father and gave free access to all the ways of the covenant. The law of love was a great gift. It enabled man to live in gratitude to the honor and praise of God. First, God gave himself in his infinite love, and then spoke his law of love to man. And how is the situation after the fall into sin? God maintained his law, for he cannot deny himself, and therefore he cannot deny the commandment of love. And through his law, God shows us how beautiful it was from the beginning. He shows us that we have been altered by our terrible sins. We are lepers in his sight. But he has not changed, and the style of his house has not been altered. His law for our life is still the same. God's law continues to be preached and proclaimed because he is the God of salvation, the God of redemption, the Father of Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ into the world, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3. Jesus Christ reveals the character of the law, this law of the beginning, the law of paradise, as the law of love. Jesus Christ shows this also in Matthew 19 to that rich young man who in his self-righteousness thought that he had fulfilled and observed all the commandments. Christ placed him in front of the total and complete law of love. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. Then come, follow me. But Christ more than showed the law in its character as the law of perfect love. He fulfilled it. And by his Spirit he gives us a new heart, in order that we will acknowledge and profess, like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, "Father, your law is holy and your commandment is just and good. Your law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. By your law you showed me the style of paradise, and truly, so it has to be. Now in the light of your law of your love, in the light of your covenant word, in the light of your grace, I see how corrupt I am, how guilty I am. I am by nature detestable, and I hate you and my neighbor. Now I see why I was driven out of paradise, why I am lying under your wrath, thrown far away from your communion. Do you see, congregation, the character of the law? It is the law of the covenant. It is a word of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only in the light of the love of God, in the light of Bethlehem and Calvary, do I learn to be ashamed of myself. Only in the light of God's covenant word do I receive knowledge about myself, about my sin and misery. For having knowledge of your misery does not mean that you come into despair. Cain, Esau, and Judas knew despair. But despair does not work out, does not produce repentance that leads to salvation. Knowledge of sin and misery is this, that you, in the light of the grace of God, agree with him and say, Lord, your law, the law of your covenant, is holy and good. Holiness befits your house for endless days, O Lord, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Psalm 93. Because our knowledge of sin is not without Jesus Christ, the preaching of the law is taken up into the preaching of the gospel, and the preaching of the gospel is not without the preaching of the law. Jesus Christ revealed the character of the law of love that shows us our sin. The second question of our Lord's Day reads, what does God's law require of us? And the answer is, Christ teaches us this in a summary in Matthew 22, and then follow the well-known words of the double commandment of love. First of all, congregation, notice that our catechism in this second Lord's Day expressly mentions the name of Christ. Christ teaches the requirement of the law of God in a summary. The name of Christ does not appear only in the second and third part of the catechism, in the parts about salvation and service, or grace and gratitude, but immediately in this first part, the part about sin and guilt. You know the context of Christ's summary of the law. In Matthew 22, we read that the Pharisees heard that the Lord Jesus has silenced the Sadducees in his answer to their question about the resurrection, and that they came together. And one of them, a lawyer, asks him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You can understand that question against the background of the doctrine of the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not acknowledge the character of the law of God. They did not see that the law is the law of God's covenant. They had made a code out of God's wonderful law. They had listed all kinds of laws and bylaws. They had hundreds of commandments, precepts, and ordinances. There naturally arises then the question, which is the greatest commandment? If you have hundreds of loose precepts, which then is the most important one? You can understand that this became a point of dispute and debate between the different theological schools of the Pharisees. Now they came to the Lord Jesus Christ with that difficult question. And, congregation, you must see the beauty of Christ's answer. Christ says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. First of all, we have to notice that in a certain sense, this answer is not original at all. For Christ quotes the scriptures. First from Deuteronomy 6, where Moses said after the giving of the law, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The other word is from Leviticus 19. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. Christ has not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He does not give his own law. No, he simply combines two texts of the Word of God and says, this is it, love. God is love, and God has made love the law in his covenant. Love is the fulfillment of the law. The law is not a long series of do's and don'ts. It is summed up in one word, love. You shall love the Lord your God, the Lord who is the God is your God because of his covenant, and you shall love him with all your heart. The heart is a center of life. Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And therefore, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart in the center of your life completely. Your whole life must be directed toward God. You shall choose him with all your desires, for you shall love him with your soul. Our soul is all that is within us. When Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, then my soul is parallel to all that is within me. So we shall love God with the longings and the desires that are within us. Each desire must be directed toward God. He who gave himself in his love totally and completely requires of us that we give ourselves to him with all our inner feelings. There is not anything about which we may be so excited as about our God and all our mind. All our thoughts have to be directed to God alone. There may not be any movement of your brains that is not driven by the love toward God. Your might also, your will and your strength, the power of your hands and your deeds, shall be for him and for him only. Your total person must be engaged and totally engrossed in the matter of his love. Nothing is so all-encompassing, all-embracing as the commandment of the love of God. For his love is perfect, and he asks for perfect love from us. Even then, Christ goes on. This was the first and great commandment, but a second is like it. For the love of God is tied up with the love of the neighbour. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. May we love ourselves? Yes, but only because we are created as the image of God. This is the ground of love for our neighbour, that God also created him. You shall love him because of God, and you shall love God in your neighbour. Otherwise, love of neighbour becomes idolatry. Look, congregation, here you have the style of your father's house. This is the law of the beginning, the law of perfect love. Here we cannot but be perplexed, for holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And what kind of persons are we? Here is the gap, the chasm between the house of Father and us. In the clear and bright light of God's law, the law of love, we discover what we lack. Here we see that we are in ourselves poor and naked and blind, wicked and perverse in the sight of God. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I see in my members another law at war with the law of God. It makes me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. It leads me into bondage so that I cannot go to the house of my Father and proclaim his praise from now into eternity. Christ Jesus shows me my sin and misery by his teaching of the law. But he did not preach only. He went from the manger of Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary. There at the foot of the cross, I see how seriously God meant his law. At the cross, I see the radicalism of the commandment of love toward God and toward the neighbour. The cross was necessary to transform me, a sinner, into a child of the Father and to write the law into my heart again. No, the preaching of the law, the requirement of perfect love, does not bring us into despair, but it does bring us to shame. The cross of Christ was necessary for my sins, but at the same time, there is a blessed memory of the bitter death of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. I may praise and magnify the love of God the Father, who sent Christ Jesus, his only Son, into the world. The knowledge of my sin makes me glorify the wisdom of God and the power of God. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For by grace there is faith in my heart that agrees that the law is good and holy. I for myself serve the law of God, and the Spirit helps me in my weakness. I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, as we sang in Psalm 51, Father, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Jesus Christ, who revealed God's law as a royal rule of love and who renewed its requirement in our lives, is also the one who has removed our guilt over against God's law. Can you keep all this perfectly? The Catechism asks. Perfectly, for the love of God is perfect and it asks our perfect love. Here the rule is all or nothing. So, can you keep all this perfectly? No. I'm inclined by nature to hate God and my neighbour. Not only do we not keep the law perfectly, we do the exact opposite of its nature. The law commands love, I give hate. This answer does not have its origin in the believer himself. Nobody says this of himself. For it is even part of our sin and misery that we do not want to know our sin. The Pharisee who stood in the temple and seemingly prayed did not pray at all, but he glorified himself. He did not know his sin and misery. He did not know the law as the law of the covenant of God, the God of love. The answer that the Catechism gives is taught by the Lord himself. The word of his grace shows us the mirror of the law, James 1. And when we take that mirror of the law from the hand of our Father and look into it, we say, I do not keep the law of love, let alone perfectly. This is said by a man who has been born again and who, in the light of God's grace, listens to his law. He agrees. The Lord asks love, but by nature, I am full of hate. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Romans 7 and 8. God asks perfect love. I give perfect hate. My flesh, my sinful nature, objects against God and tries to remove him from this world. My nature is opposed to my neighbour. I do not know him in love. I do not allow him a place under the sun. I am egocentric. My so-called love for my fellow man is a mask of egoism, but it is revealed by the law of God. Thanks to God, there is also the new man by the grace of God in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Nothing comes from me. It is all from God. If there is found in my life the agreement with the law, that the law is holy and just, if there is inner delight in the law of love, If I say, Father, that which you ask is good, it has to be that way and nothing else, then that is not out of myself. For of myself I hate God and I abhor his law. Father, that is from you, through the power of regeneration, that great miracle, most delightful, marvellous and mysterious, as great as creation, for it is recreation. Canons of Dort, chapter 3. God's law is sound and whole. It will revive the soul, for it new strength supplies. It supplies strength for a new life in the service of God. Christ Jesus fulfilled the law. He loved and loves God and his neighbour perfectly. He atoned for my sin and misery. He reconciled me with God. He took away my guilt over against God's law of love. Now I may walk, not in sackcloth and ashes, but in the bright light of life. I start living by his Spirit a new godly life. It is my only comfort in life and death that I receive knowledge of my sin and misery from the law of God, the law of love. My knowledge of sin is a proof of my salvation and an act of my service. Truly, knowledge of guilt shows God's grace and my gratitude to the honour of the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be honoured for all eternity. Amen.